Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. Indeed, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was by nature God, he did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed. But he emptied himself by taking the nature of a servant. When he was born in human likeness, and his appearance was like that of any other man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem as a king. But he didn't come in a chariot, escorted by soldiers, with a paid herald announcing, "Bow down to the king." He came rather on a donkey, accompanied by his followers. Well, his entry characterizes his whole ministry, a ministry characterized by humility. And this is what Paul emphasizes for us this morning. We can say real humility accomplishes things. In Jesus' case, it won our salvation. Though he was by nature God, he did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed. Yes, when his birth was announced to the shepherds, there was a lot of fanfare, wasn't there? The angels appeared, singing songs of praise to that baby born in the manger in Bethlehem. From that point on, we hear not a lot about him except for the Magi who brought those gifts fitting for a king. But he was a child, just like all the other children in his neighborhood. He was a human being. As he said, he emptied himself of his heavenly characteristics. Oh yeah, he showed some of them in his miracles, but he didn't come on the earth to make a big name for himself, to be a royal king, as the Pharisees and scribes thought the Messiah would be. He became a man to be under his father's laws as we are. He became a man, but also true God still, to obey those laws perfectly for us because we couldn't do it. He became a man so he would die. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He had to die because his father said, "I demand a sacrifice, the spilling of blood, to atone for the sins of the people." No human sacrifice was good enough. And so the sacrifice of the God-man, Jesus, fulfilled it. When he said, "It is finished," he meant that the sins of all people of all time were paid for. And all of this because he was a man. It ended in our salvation. Our sins are paid for. Death has been defeated with his resurrection. The devil is put on the back burner. He cannot overcome us, all because of what Christ had done. That was his life of humility. But then comes his exaltation. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. a royal name. Not just Jesus, because a lot of people use that name today, don't they? Pronounce it Jesus, usually. The name that we're talking about is Jesus Christ, the one anointed to be prophet, priest, and king, to be our Savior, a name which gives him honor, a name which causes him to be glorified, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. This exaltation occurs on Judgment Day, when all people of all time will appear before the judgment seat of God, and they will all say, "You are the Savior of mankind. You are the only way to heaven." And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We could add to that, everyone will praise him as the King, the one who loved his people so much that he gave up his life for them. And because of him, all who believe on that glorious day for us will be told, "Heaven is now your home." Jesus as a man accomplished a lot. Jesus as a man became our Savior. Jesus as true God did everything that was demanded of him by his Father. Jesus as the God-man accomplished what we could not do. He brought about our salvation. Well, real humility accomplishes things. In our case, it serves our neighbor. Look at Jesus' attitude toward us. "Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Many people today, when they talk about Jesus, talk about his life. And it was a great life. He cared about the people he saw, believers and unbelievers. Yes, the Pharisees and scribes, chief priests and elders, tried in every possible way to discredit him, and yet he always gave them a chance to repent, to become children of God. Thousands of people flocked to hear him. Some came because they heard he was quite a person. They just wanted to see him. But many came because of his message, that he would show them the way to heaven. Many came and watched him and saw how he behaved, how he acted toward other people. Many came to see his love. And we see that especially in the many miracles that he performed. The blind could see. The lame could walk. The hungry were fed. It happened over and over again. Can you imagine, young people, you just sang beautifully for us this morning. If you were alive when Jesus was a child, and you looked at him, and he never disobeyed his parents, and your parents would say, "Be like him." Some of you might get jealous, but that was an example that is used today. People say, "Be like Jesus. Show your concern for your fellow human beings. Behave in a way that is pleasing to God." His attitude toward us, his perfect life, his death, and his attitude toward others are ways that we can look at him and say, "Well done, Lord. I want to be like you." And the Lord says, "Do it to the best of your ability." So what is our attitude to be then toward our fellow human beings? Yesterday, our parking lot was packed. there was the anti-Trump rally. And our parking lot was nice and close to where the people wanted to protest. I had some people say, well, why are you letting them be there? It's convenient. If we'd have put roadblocks up and not allowed anybody in, what would the people have said? They would have made it political. We're not. By letting them park there doesn't mean that we agree with them either way. Whether it's for Trump or against Trump doesn't make any difference. We're not politicians in the church. They wanted to use our property, fine. Just don't abuse it. And they didn't. They came, they did their thing, and they left. And the parking lot was in good shape. People in need. When I was at Zion in Toledo, we had a food pantry. And I had the privilege many times of filling up the bags to give to the needy people of the area. Most of them really, really appreciated it. Of course, some of them said, oh, we only want meat. Why don't you have more meat? I said, we have what we have. Enjoy it. Helping those who are needy. When I was in Urbana, probably every other week, I'd have somebody stop by and say, Pastor, I need gas. Or, Pastor, I need food. Most of the time, it was because their car broke down and now they were stranded. And they needed some help as they waited for their car to be fixed. They needed food. I took them to the grocery store and I said, go on, shop. It's interesting. You can tell right away whether they really cared or not. Most of them would take the cheapest stuff off the shelf. If they had kids, I always got them a bag of either apples or oranges. One time, the mother had a newborn. I got her diapers. She needed it. And there was the thank yous. Gas, let's go to the gas station. Fill it up. I'll pay for it. One thing I never did was give them money. Now, we had one man came to church while we sat in the back. He said, I need money to get prescriptions for my mom in another city. And we said, we don't give money for that. So he'd sit in the back of church and stay there for the whole service, and then as the people were ushered out, he would ask them for money. And we said, no. And one couple, it's kind of interesting. First thing they said is, there's a man and a woman, we'd like to sleep in your church tonight so we can be closer to God. We don't do that. But the Ministerial Association has a way with a certain motel in our town where they have a room paid for you to stay in. Well, do they have two beds? We now decided to be like Paul, so we don't sleep together anymore. We need food, so I took them to the grocery store, and boy, did they buy the junk food, the expensive stuff. When I told my members what happened, they said, well, they have to pay before their Lord because they took advantage of a situation. You have those kind of people. But the Lord says, take care of those who are needy. If the Lord has blessed you with extras, share it when people need it. That is to be our attitude toward our neighbor. But more important is sharing your faith. That one young lady, 37 years old, when she died of cancer, told me, there's going to be a tremendous amount of people here and for my funeral who have no way or no idea on how to get to heaven. That be your theme. And I've learned from her, and I do it all the time now. Share the message of salvation. Tell others about Jesus. Tell them what he has done for you. Tell them about the Holy Spirit who works faith in you so that the work of Christ can be yours. Tell them that the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus. You believe in heaven and in Jesus, and heaven will be your home. Share that with others because they need to hear it. And when you do all these things, you're not making a name for yourselves. You're honoring God. You're giving God glory. As the Lord walked this earth for 33 years, he always was giving God glory. He was always doing what his Father told him to do. We can do the same, not as well as he did. But whenever we do well toward others who need help, whenever we share that wonderful message of salvation, whenever we believe in Jesus as our way to heaven, we're glorifying God. And that is our goal. Jesus, he didn't come to make a name for himself. He came to serve us. He served us by becoming a man and bringing about our salvation. We are here to serve our neighbor. Feed them materially when needed. Feed them spiritually all the time. The Holy Spirit will bless your efforts to God's glory. Amen.